Let's talk about the cost of severe weather impacts on Arkansas crops, how the EPA announcement this week means they're trying to better understand agriculture, and a lot more on today's episode of the Arkansas AgCast, which starts right now.
You're listening to the Arkansas AgCast, where we discuss the latest news, trends, and issues impacting Arkansas farmers and ranchers. Our show is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau Federation and hosted by Jason Brown and John Nickman.
Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Thursday Wednesday when you're listening to this, but it's Wednesday when we're recording.
Well, congratulations. We made it to Wednesday.
Hump day.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that old commercial?
Yeah, I did. Was that a Geico commercial?
Maybe so.
We're probably
maybe
not supposed to be saying company names.
Do a lot of things. Yeah. Kind of break the rules of traditional.
Yeah.
You know, it's all right. That was a thing, like, to a point where people were like, oh, my God, is Bob really saying that again today? People really took that.
Got a little played out.
And was up.
Yeah.
You know, those two things really took off in pop culture. Yeah. In pop culture nomenclature. Yeah. And, like, to the point of, like, okay, that's cool. We should probably.
It's like a one-hit wonder single gets put out and everybody plays it over and over again every day.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I've heard of that enough.
Yeah. Speaking of that, a point in parenthood that I can't wait until you get to is when your kids start to discover, when Tone starts to discover music. It starts to come into his own music.
You should see his little dances, man. Sorry, I don't even know.
Sorry. So he's already into music, but I mean when he can choose music.
When he hears, he's not choosing music.
Yeah.
Now he's got these like little toys that play little jingles and stuff. He's got this little shoulder thing that he likes to do. it's like a broken wave, you know.
Yeah.
But he gets down, you know?
To a point where he's doing it because he enjoys it,
yeah.
Or he knows you guys really.
No. He likes the sound. Like he knows it's something that makes him groove. You know.
That's funny. My daughter has kind of been all over the spectrum, which is fair. We listen to a lot of different music in my house, but. I'm very, very proud of the fact that she recently discovered The Killers.
Oh, yeah.
And we have dusted off the Hot Fuss album and listened to The Killers multiple times a week in my house.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, me and my wife do not listen to the same music.
Yeah.
So.
Same.
And she probably listens to two genres of music quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I'll listen to about anything except for pretty much what she listens to. Sorry, honey. So it'd be interesting. The point is, it'd be interesting to see what little
what
Tony
he
Maloney,
latches onto.
Yeah, what he latches onto, if he's going to be more like his superhero dad or his mother's music.
Well, look, as a girl dad, you know, I cringe at some of the things that she's gotten into.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
the posters
that's part
on the wall
of
yet?
It. No posters on the wall. Okay. But like, you know, there's a lot of pop that comes out of those bedroom speakers from time to time. But she likes her fair share of other things.
Yeah.
Music that I'm more akin to, you know. And so it's fun. It's fun when you can sit down and enjoy music with your kiddo. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Do you have a memory that sticks out for you in that realm? Like when your kids started getting into music or first poster on the wall or something like that?
Yeah. I guess my son would be the easiest one. He was the one that was always into the music. And my daughter was, but she was just, she would listen to some country. But he was extreme into bands and wanted to know all about them and wanting to get posters and shirts and all the things.
Yeah.
You know, still is.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
but,
good.
But yeah,
he was always like son.
He was always big into music.
Yeah,
and you know I could play anything, and he'd start moving to it. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a fun fun part. And now she's taking piano lessons, so kind of learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely listen, or I guess I listen to a lot of different stuff, like I said, but if you got in my truck today, more than likely it'd be classic rock. I don't like messing with the radio. It just needs to be on something that I'm okay listening to.
Yeah.
But like that's definitely influenced from my dad.
Ah.
You know.
Sure. I mean those, and a lot of times, especially in bigger cities, you know, those are your most popular stations. Mm-hmm. I mean, hands down they were.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, now the dark side of things. So my son's daughter has discovered our Alexa. It's like nonstop. Play the Ken song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's Ken's song and
that's pretty funny.
And noises.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bodily noises.
Well,
they want to hear all the varieties of such.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, Alexa's that's, funny that's in that so regard. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But I've heard that song so many times, I'm about to throw it.
That's funny. Speaking of, we were in a store the other day and walking by the clothes section, and I saw a shirt that said Mojo Dojo Casa House or whatever, and that's, which is from that movie. That's Ken's house, you know. And I don't know. He's hilarious, Ryan Gosling.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. He's just a funny guy.
Yeah.
That last time they came to spend the night, I'd heard it so many times, I'm walking around the house mimicking the whole thing. I'm like, oh, I got to stop.
I'm turning into Ryan Gosling.
That's funny. Yeah, man. Music, to your point about classic rock, I also think there's a little bit of dad mode that comes along with that, right? That and yacht rock, this genre that, you know, has sort of taken on this brand as yacht rock. Are you familiar with what I'm talking
about?
I've
heard the term, but I don't know what it is.
I would think of things like, gosh, anything from like Michael McDonald and like things like that to, I don't know. I mean, you know, Steely Dan, you know, stuff kind of like that. It's not classic rock, but it's from that era, if that makes it all
sense. Do you remember like the old 98.5 radio station out of Little Rock?
Oh, yeah.
B98. Yeah, B98. That sounds a lot like if you listen to B98 at night, that's probably what would pop up.
Well, only at night?
Yeah.
Only at night, yeah. They go
smooth,
a little crazy.
Smooth jams.
Satellite radio has a station called Yacht Rock. I mean, that's a genre that I have found myself in the past 3-4 years, you know, in my 40s, getting into. Hmm. Like, I don't know. I'm a big fan, you know? So, anyway, our tastes change. I would have never thought that I would be listening to the likes of you know, Doobie Brothers and Christopher Cross and, you know, Michael McDonald and all that.
What a question. So when you're studying, or if you studied in school, or if you're working at work right now, do you listen to music? And if so, does it have words in it? Like, is it somebody singing, or is it just instrumental?
I do, and a lot of times it's instrumental.
Yeah, I'm instrumental as well. I can't, if there's words, somebody's singing, I can't pay attention to what I'm trying to do.
I mean, sometimes I can, but, like, I prefer instrumental. I discovered a long time ago these playlists under the category focus. Mm-hmm. And some of them are upbeat, some of them are slow, some of them are strings, some of them are piano. You know, they're different sort of vibes, I guess I would say. But yeah, most of them.
Like it could be classical music, or it could be extreme electronic house music.
As long
as it doesn't have anybody singing,
I'm on that. I'm on that page.
Most times that's what I'm doing is instrumental. Mm-hmm. If I have a chance
to
listen
to soundtrack stuff.
Yeah, soundtracks and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If I listen to anything that's got words, I'm afraid I'm going to turn into Hugh Grant from Love Actually. And I'll be dancing around the office and somebody's going to walk in. I'm like,
Yeah.
So,
well, look, an exclusive for AdCast listeners. If you're ever at a Farm Bureau event that Brian is producing, which is all of them, just give the little transition music an extra ear.
Because
he always sneaks in some instrumental that you know, and you're like, you're in the back of the room jamming. You're like, oh, he just like winked at me. He did the, with the music.
he did like the Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
U2's always going to be in there. He'll always do a little couple of Easter eggs, I'll say. And it's enjoyable.
Yeah,
it's
remember, I can't remember if it was O&L or convention. I was sitting in the back of the room talking to somebody as we were picking stuff up.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe in Resolutions. I was like, this is the Avengers soundtrack.
That's Brian.
Yeah.
That's Brian. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, music makes our life better.
Thank you for the work you do.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Amen. Yep. Well, let's get on and talk about some work stuff. How about that? Since you were trying to get us there, segue into work.
I guess I was unintentionally.
shout out to everybody in D.C. this week. We've got our county president's tour in D.C. Those folks, most of them, I think, touched down yesterday. They had a really long day. Yeah. They took that direct flight out of if you flew out of Little Rock, you probably flew out like 4:30 or 5 in the morning and got there.
Yeah, that's an early one.
And they all went all the way back down to – I saw last night photos of a nighttime Capitol tour.
Oh, yeah.
With Representative Westerman, I believe. So they had a long day yesterday and up and at it again today. I've already seen some social coverage on this. They were at USDA, had breakfast with Congressman French Hill and Steve Womack. So busy day again today. I know certainly part of what they'll be talking about while they're in D.C. is the farm bill.
Yeah.
And the priorities that of our members when it comes to the farm bill, and part of their time there will also be spent talking to Alex Thomas, who is the DC correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Alex is, I know he met with some of our folks at breakfast this morning. They're going to talk again this afternoon, and so he'll be writing up a story about our folks.
Haven't we?
We have,
yeah.
And so anyway. Keep an eye out on the Dem Gaz. They've got a podcast too called Arkies in the Beltway.
Oh,
and
cool.
He's gonna he'll incorporate our folks being in DC into the podcast, but also a written story in the newspaper. So yeah. Anyway, y'all be safe, have fun, eat some good food. You know they're gonna eat well.
Yeah. You can't help but eat well in DC, man.
Amen to that. So anyway. What else we got here? Oh, these Texas wildfires. Have you been keeping up with that?
Not as much as I should. It's a pretty tough deal, to say the least. I've seen some videos of them, you know, driving trucks and dropping water from planes and helicopters and stuff. But
yeah,
what was that? We were in either DC or Commodity Class. I think DC when all that broke out.
Yeah, I think it was February 26th, right around that last few days in February. They're calling it the Smokehouse Creek Fire. And so far I was reading some news on it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There's been quite a bit of impact to livestock.
Yeah.
Along the way, since this thing's been burning, so far they've burned, the fire has burned over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle.
That's kind of what I saw was it's kind of the perfect storm. Like the fire erupted, but they've got all this wind going, 50, 55 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I saw a video of how fast that flame was moving across the ground. Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't have a chance.
Really sad. I mean, there's been loss of life there. Obviously, livestock impacts and loss of homes and businesses and things like that. And it's even crossed over into Oklahoma and burned several thousand acres there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So our hearts go out to those folks who are impacted by that fire.
Yep. And absolutely.
You know, especially the farmers and ranchers. While you were at Commodity Classic, the Farm and Gin Show was taking place in Memphis.
Yeah.
And part of that is always the Southern Cotton Ginners Association annual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And this year at that meeting, our friends, the Dabs, so Lori and Terry and Trent Dabs.
They're knocking it out of the park.
Yeah,
Didn't they win a conservation award last year at Commodity Classic, ASA, I think?
I believe they did.
or they were nominated. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I believe so. Well, this year they won the Ag Achievement Award from the Southern Cotton Ginners Association. And really, this was on the conservation piece.
Yeah.
This, it was based on their work with the Discovery Farms program at U of A and Mike Daniels, his work. So congrats to the Dabbs family for their recognition there. Talked to the folks at Delta Farm Press, and I know that they are planning to put out a feature story on Friday, March the 8th, about the Dabbs and that award and what they did to earn that award and things like that. So,
you ever been to the Gin Show?
Many, many times.
Have you? I've never been.
It's a good time. It's, you know, it's not as, it's not on the scale of Commodity Classic. Yeah. I would say it's much more regionally focused, meaning, but I mean, it's a big event. It's a big event. I started going, I think probably 2010, 2011 and went every year until
trade show is pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a big trade show. It's a good time, man. Speaking of eating good, you're always going to eat good at the Gin Show, too.
Yeah, that's true.
We mentioned Commodity Classic. How was that?
We had a good trip. I will say by Saturday afternoon, I was like, man, I've been in Houston for way too long.
Yeah.
I need to get home. I'm sure my wife thought the same thing. Tone got the flu the weekend before I left.
Oh, no.
And then my wife got it the day I came back. And so it's...
And you avoided it.
Hey, you never say never.
Congratulations.
So you may have just jinxed me. But no, Commodity Classic was good. Trade show was huge. There was two levels this year.
Really?
Yeah, all the big equipment downstairs, all the kind of smaller deals upstairs. John Deere came out with new GPS stuff.
I saw that. I saw something about that.
They showcased a new articulating track tractor.
Did they do an e-tractor?
Bigger than my house.
I saw something about an electronic tractor.
No,
or electric tractor.
If they did, I didn't see it.
Okay, all right. Maybe I made that up. Don't.
Wouldn't have been difficult to miss because they had half of that bottom floor.
Oh my goodness!
And the whole convention was, I don't know, a mile long was kind of the running joke there. But I got a picture with a longhorn bull. So post that on Facebook so y'all can see me.
Yeah, we'll put it from Farm Bureau.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler took the picture, so it may not be the quality that you're looking for.
goodness.
Busting out Tyler.
Yeah. Next time we'll send a photographer with you for your trip.
Should have.
Commodity.
We need more documentation. But the workshops were really good this year. They were more focused on marketing. Crop markets and stuff like that, given that, you know, all the stuff we've seen with farm income being down, commodity prices predicted to be down, input costs predicted to be higher, and, you know, stuff like that. So those were all kind of packed. They had a weather forum that I was wanting to go to, and I missed it.
Yeah.
Then they also had a lot of I didn't make it to, a lot of kind of personal financing or bookkeeping for your farm.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, the business side of you know, paper keeping or, you know, bookkeeping and stuff like that. I thought it was a really good time. That was only my second or third time in Houston. I went to a rodeo for the first time in my entire life.
Oh, at Commodity?
Yeah.
Oh,
Houston Rodeo was there.
Yeah, so, the Houston Rodeo is a big deal.
Oh, man, there was thousands of people
there. I had some friend, a buddy of mine that moved down there to go to law school.
Yeah, it almost made me want to buy a cowboy hat. I got real close.
Well, I'm not going to say you made the right decision, but I am going to say I'm glad you're
all
here.
All I'm saying
and
is there's some good-looking cowboy hats in Houston.
Were you planning on wearing this cowboy hat?
If you can wear a cowboy hat, you just got to wear it, right? So as long as you have confidence, you can wear it wherever you want to wear it. My only stipulation is not in the truck because I can't stand the back brim hitting my headrest. You know, it's just like, it's annoying. I mean, but anyways.
Yeah, have to get a hat rack for the
truck.
Or
in a duck blind.
Sure.
In a duck blind. Yeah. The brim of the hat always hit like the top
of
the blind.
There's a lot of issues in a duck blind with a cowboy hat.
That's two.
Clearly.
Two environments
clearly
I wouldn't want to wear a cowboy hat.
Clearly you have thought this out very thoroughly.
I'm trying to figure out which one of those circumstances
I've
talked about.
I have some hats that I've worn before. They're just not cowboy hats. They're like hiking hats or sun hats.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. Well,
straw hats. But
Indiana Jones type hat.
Yeah, just like that, to some extent, I guess. But I think our membership, you know, we took some of our division chairmen with us. I think they really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and really got to see some information they probably wouldn't have gotten to see if they hadn't gone.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
It's a it's a really great show.
Yeah,
I mean, it's on a different level than anything.
There's
else.
So much information to consume there, and you wouldn't be able. This is my second year. I still haven't been able to hit everything I wanted to.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's it. It was a good one. Next year's in Denver.
Oh, that's fun.
So, but we did hear some people from northern states complain, like, well, we wanted to go to a warmer state. I don't mind going to Denver.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
But anyways, as much fun as it is, there's a lot of good information there to learn and bring back. And I think that was kind of our perspective on taking the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they could be better prepared for our division meetings.
You get to understand issues from a much broader perspective.
Yes.
That's what I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's things that seem just kind of maybe scoffed at or passed over or whatever that may be when you're here in the state, you know. You don't really understand, oh, well, that's important because, you know, these other farmers or these other, you know, areas of agriculture really, you know, see the impacts of that differently. And I think it just broadens your scope.
You also, I really appreciated being able to listen to somebody speak that's well known for that subject that I probably would never see come to Arkansas. So,
you know,
that was pretty cool. Like, we were in a farm bill discussion and the, you know, main staffers for that, those particular offices were there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting to see their perspective on certain things and what they thought the farm bill would do or didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty cool that they didn't bash each other either, though. So,
oh, nice. You know, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Plus, around, you can really walk up on somebody's booth and just see, like, an artist with a song at the top of the country charts just performing in their booth or whatever.
It's
kind of crazy. Yeah.
My only complaint is they didn't have as much free stuff this year to hand out. it's tough out there this year, you know. Brian and I talked about this earlier.
Hey, he's one of those folks that's got like three bags on a yardstick.
Yeah.
If you come to my office,
all the little squishy little stuff, things.
Yeah.
I got those last year at Commodity Classic. I brought back two this year.
He's feeling squishy withdrawal.
Yeah, he is.
I'm a big collector of squishies.
All right. Well, let's dig into the news.
Okay, let's do it. You want me to go first?
Would you?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got some potentially favorable news for agriculture coming from the EPA. Just announced last week.
Yeah, man.
While I was at Commodity Classic, I missed this workshop, but on March 1st, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, Administrator Michael S. Reagan announced that the agency is establishing the first ever EPA Office of Agriculture and Rural Affairs. The new office will be led by Rod Snyder, who has served as Administrator Reagan's Senior Advisor for Agriculture since October 2021. With this new office, EPA hopes to expand engagement opportunities with agricultural and rural communities. Administrator Reagan was quoted saying, "Farmers and ranchers are crucial partners as we work together to deliver clean air, clean water, and climate solutions, all while playing the critical role of ensuring an abundant fiber, fuel, and food supply. With the launch of this new office, we are ensuring agricultural and rural stakeholders will continue to have a seat at the table for many years to come." According to the EPA's press office, the new office will work in close coordination with EPA's program offices and regions and will forge practical science-based solutions that protect the environment while ensuring a vibrant and productive agricultural system. In support of the Biden-Harris administration's Rural Partners Network, the office will also collaborate with small, underserved towns and rural communities that are seeking federal investments in infrastructure upgrades and the other community improvement opportunities.
Nice.
The new office will also assist with closer coordination with the federal and state partners, such as USDA and state departments of agriculture. The EPA's existing Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Federal Advisory Committee will also be housed within this office.
Okay.
So, you know, this is good news. Mm-hmm. I think Zippy Duval, AFBF, came out and made a comment about the support of this new office. And as much as EPA has come up in agricultural issues or starting to impact them, I think this is a positive direction, step in the right direction, I mean.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see exactly how they, you know, what physical action are they going to take What mm-hmm. what does it really entail?
Yeah.
You know,
I know Administrator Regan last year, I believe, when we were in D.C. for Issues Advisory Committee, he sat and spoke with one of the committees there. Our folks met with him this morning or yesterday. Maybe.
Is it Regan or Reagan? Because I think it's Reagan. Reagan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think it's Regan. Our folks met with him this morning. You know, he seems to have had a good presence within agriculture. So I wonder if that's sort of part of what's driving some of this. But
I would imagine WOTUS has really pushed a lot of this into this direction.
Well, and they, you know, the dicamba issue has fallen back in their lap a few times. You know, I mean, there's just been so much that's involved in the industry of agriculture that I think it's good to see them that they recognize the importance of this. So anyway, all right. Well, my first story of the day comes to us from the American Farm Bureau economist team, and someone we've referenced several times on the show here, Daniel Munch.
Hey, speaking of cowboy hats, Daniel was wearing a cowboy hat at IAC's the other day.
Really?
And it was a good-looking cowboy hat. Not to interrupt you.
Well, did you get any tips from him?
No, I didn't. But he was pretty happy when I told him that. I was like, hey, that's a good-looking cowboy hat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyways, back to the news. Well,
all right. Daniel opens up by noting that in 2023, 28 weather disasters, each with damages exceeding $1 billion, struck the U.S. In historic terms, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, ranked 2023 ninth in terms of the total inflation-adjusted economic impact of these events. The 2023 disasters cost industries across the economy an estimated $92.9 billion, with 490 lives lost, creating a lasting mark on the communities impacted.
Man.
Crop and rangeland damage estimates for 2023 show losses from major disasters at over $29 billion, or 23.6% of NOAA's total economic impact figure. Of that figure, nearly $12 billion in losses were covered by existing risk management agencies, RMA, programs as of February 2024. Leaving another $10 billion in losses not covered through RMA for various reasons.
Yeah.
Now, not included above were drought, excessive heat, and wildfires, and those alone accounted for just under $17 billion in total crop losses. Wow. Another $4 billion in crop losses was linked to excessive precipitation, flooding, and hurricane events, and then you've got another $1.3 billion caused by hailstorms. It's important to note here that AFBF crop loss estimates do not include infrastructure damage, livestock losses, complete horticulture crop losses, or timber losses associated with the selected weather events that we mentioned. They say that these estimates should be viewed as a minimum baseline data point.
Yeah.
According to the report, Arkansas saw a crop loss of crops valued at just under $200 million. And Texas suffered the most significant hit for the second year in a row, with over $4.8 billion in crop loss from major disasters and severe weather. Arkansas lost another $70-plus million in crops, pasture land, rangeland, and forage due to drought, wildfire, and heat, and yet another $125 million-plus due to hurricanes, flooding, and severe precipitation. The report wraps up by noting 67% of the losses in Arkansas were covered by crop insurance, but points out an opportunity with the current work being done on the farm bill. The next farm bill is an opportunity for lawmakers to fill gaps in existing risk management programs, providing similar risk management opportunities for farmers regardless of what they grow.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel summarizes by saying, the sure and timely payments associated with crop insurance and other farm bill programs are often critical for farm-level stability and ultimately for a safe and secure domestic food supply.
Yeah.
So these numbers are staggering.
Yeah. You know, it kind of brings up that natural disaster assistance program and how we were kind of pushing for, you know, if you utilize that program, it covers a portion of your revenue. Not revenue, your cost per acre, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't cover revenue loss. Now, there's revenue protection insurance out there. But, you know, looking for something a little bit more substantial, a little bit more teeth on it than what NAP offers. And then, like, I think another thing that was brought up in this article was damage to forestry, timber losses. What was it, 2 years ago? We had some severe wind events that knocked down a bunch of hardwood timber and wet ground that had already been rained on quite a bit. And none of that was covered under that. And a lot of those landowners were relying on those trees for, say, retirement.
Yeah.
Kids' college funds.
Right. You know,
et cetera, et cetera.
And, real world implications.
And you couldn't get in there to remove those trees because it was too wet. So huge losses.
Yeah. You know? I know one of the things that I've heard talked about since I've been at Farm Bureau is just this ability to proactively build some protection in for these natural disasters and severe weather events, rather than an event happens, we have to go to Congress, express the need. Congress has to write legislation to pass legislation to get some relief, and then the application process begins.
Yeah.
And you've got this whole process before the funds start flowing back to the farmer. Yeah. And that's you know, that being proactive about that, I think this makes the case for that.
And affordability of these programs.
That's
another issue.
Great point. Yeah.
But
so anyway, a lot can be said on that, but very timely with the Farm Bill development. You know, with the Farm Bill writing and all that process underway. But for now, let's take a short break and hear about what a Farm Bureau membership can do in your community.
Your Arkansas Farm Bureau membership supports the work we do on behalf of Arkansas farmers, ranchers, and communities around the state. A $40 annual Farm Bureau membership makes a difference in your neighborhood. From youth leadership programs and academic scholarships to hunger relief and disaster support, you can make a difference and be a champion for your community. Join at arfb.com.
For my last story, I'm going to move from one government agency to another.
Oh, fun.
Okay. I'm full of it today. USDA has announced a final rule that plans to give livestock and poultry farmers stronger protections against deceptive contracts and retaliatory tactics from meat processors. So yesterday, USDA released their final rule on inclusive competition and market integrity under the Packers and Stockyards Act, or the Inclusive Competition Rule. The new rule will become effective 60 days following publication in the Federal Register and established clearer, more effective standards under the Packers and Stockyards Act for prohibition practices relating to discrimination, retaliation, and deception in contracting. According to the USDA Press, the finalization of this rule will help producers and growers that have suffered from increasingly consolidated markets over the last 30 years by enhancing market integrity and ensuring fair access to economic opportunities. So I wanted to list off what kind of the four main points of this rule. So don't get lost. Pay attention.
Do my best.
The rule first prohibits the adverse treatment of livestock producers and poultry growers based on race, color, religion, national origin, sex, including pregnancy, sexual orientation, and gender identity, disability, marital status, or age. It also prohibits discrimination against a livestock and poultry producer cooperative, not just the individual. Prohibits retaliation against producers and growers for their engaging in certain protected activities, lawful communications or refusals to communicate assertion or contractual and Packers and Stockyards Act rights, participation in associations and cooperatives, exploring or entering into a business relationship with a competing packer slash swine contractor slash live poultry dealer, and certain other protected activities. I got two more here if you're still with me.
Yep, I'm here.
Prohibits employing false or misleading statements or omissions of material information in contract formation, performance, and termination, and prohibits regulated entities from providing false or misleading representations regarding refusal to contract. And lastly, supports USDA monitoring, evaluation, and enforcement of compliance with aspects of the rule through certain record-keeping requirements. I think this particularly is a little bit more – I mean, there's integration of some cattle, and you know, but the swine and poultry industries are very vertically integrated, and contracting with those organizations – or companies, I should say. I think this is a little bit more targeted towards them. And I also think they're probably going to see they're going to be happy with this,
yeah,
to some extent. Now, that's probably more of a question for Jared Garrett. I know poultry guy.
Sure.
And Swan guy. But I was kind of surprised that this was even an issue. You know, but yeah. I guess at the same time, it's not. You look at, there's only, what, four big Packers in the country now?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bit of, would that be an oligopoly?
Yeah, at least consolidation.
Yeah. So they are controlling the market to some extent. And again, like I said, with the USDA ruling, I wonder what this is, what it impacts and effects this will be positively on producers.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it does yield a positive impact for producers. And I know that would be, you know, that's always a welcomed outcome to any of these actions, especially when it comes to bureaucracy, I'll say.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, rounding back to a topic that we covered a while back when the governor ordered a review of the state's water plan, the governor has now asked for a review of Arkansas's levee system. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed a memorandum of agreement with the Commissioner of State Lands to conduct a statewide levee inventory. As part of the governor's larger review of Arkansas's state water plan, this project will result in the state's first ever full inventory of levees and will allow the state to better prepare for flooding events and reduce flood risk to people, businesses, and critical infrastructure, according to an announcement from the governor's office. This follows Executive Order 2327, which was issued in August of last year, as I mentioned earlier. That order was to conduct a comprehensive analysis and report of the state's water needs with an update to the Arkansas Water Plan. The order also included the directive to conduct a structural analysis of flood mitigation infrastructure and proposed solutions. This MOA on levees authorizes the Arkansas Department of Ag to work with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on the project that will be initiated through a planning assistance to states agreement. Under that agreement, project costs are shared between the state and the Corps. State Lands Commissioner Tommy Land has agreed to provide up to $250,000 as the state's portion of the project cost. The release went on to say that many non-federal levees within the state are not in the Corps levee safety program and are not currently eligible for assistance in the event of a levee breach. This project will focus on confirming the number and status of all levees in the state, which will then allow state and local leaders to provide better maintenance of levee systems and prepare for future natural disasters. So a little bit of an extension of that that water plan review here.
Yeah, it just kind of shocks me that we don't know where these levees, like, did the state or the federal government put these levees up, and why isn't there an inventory of them already?
Well, if I understood this correctly, I think that where that comes into play is more the state, the non-federal levees are sort of where those questions start
Wasn't
to arise.
Wasn't there an issue with levee boards a few years ago?
Well, that has been something that has been discussed a few times.
But I can't remember exactly what it was about.
Yeah. So it's just good to see a focus. You know, levees are so important. If you go back and look even at the history of the Mississippi River and things like that, I mean, not only to agriculture, to rural communities, so on and so forth, really to everybody in the state, whether they know it or not. So it's good to get a sort of that inventory going, and especially a status of that system.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear it.
All right, Mr. Pistole.
You guys ready? You're done?
We're done over here with our portion.
You don't want to talk about cowboy hats?
No, I think we've exhausted that.
You like short feathers, long feathers, or no feather?
Yankee Doodle Dandy over here.
thank goodness you didn't get a hat.
It'd have been a big one.
You know what they say.
What do they say?
Big hat, no cows.
I would have been all hat, no cow.
All hat,
for sure.
No cow.
All hat, no cow. I'd have to go get a cow first.
Yeah.
Stick it in the backyard.
That's solid. That's a foolproof plan.
Maybe does my golden retriever count as a cow?
Yeah, sure. She's pretty big. Horns on her.
Well. with that, let's
stop the host.
There we go.
Let's do it.
We're here.
All right. I'll tread lightly on this because it's, you know.
Last time was rough.
You were going to say something.
I was. I'm sorry. I feel like I do this about half the time.
Yeah.
Our deep dive last week, mm-hmm. Mike Clam from USDA.
Yeah.
He sits down right over there. Yeah. I sit here. Right we here. Record. He says, Is this on? Is this on? Can you hear me? And we're like, yeah, sounded good. You know? He says, I knew the answers to all those questions last week.
That's awesome. That's
good
awesome.
For you, Mike.
I said, I can't wait to tell McMahon.
That's so good. I love it.
It was pretty funny.
Because you're faster at processing information than me doesn't mean you're any smarter.
Like nerd fight. Yeah.
Well, I'll tread lightly because the theme of today is a little different. But
okay.
I tried it out this morning. I tried to tell a joke on Zoom, and nobody laughed.
Uh-oh. That means we'll think it's hilarious. Yeah, I know.
Well, it turns out I'm not remotely funny.
Oh, my.
You make me laugh.
Did you hear what he said?
I guess not.
He's not remotely funny.
Oh, it's Zoom. Yeah, I get it now.
He's like, you made me laugh. I don't
know. See,
that joke was so good.
That was a
way
for it. All right. So these can kind of go in a dad joke category. So,
that's funny. I needed these laughs.
What was more important than the invention of the first telephone?
The wheel.
The invention of the first telephone.
The second one.
Look at you. Yeah. Mm. The second telephone.
Nice.
Well, I've really had my wheels turned.
All right. Do you know why milk?
Nice.
Do you know why milk is the fastest liquid?
Because it's utterly unstoppable.
No. It's pasteurized before you can even see it.
That's a gift that keeps on giving right there.
Exactly. See? I got it.
Yeah.
These all fall in the category if you're going to feel, you're going to be mad at yourself for laughing at them.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can't help but laugh
at them. My face hurts. This is good.
So SCUBA is an acronym for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Mm-hmm. So what do you think tuba is?
I'm laughing because I'm anticipating what I'm about to laugh at.
I don't know. I give up.
Terrible underwater breathing apparatus.
Welcome to the Arkansas Agcast, where you just get to listen to the three of us laugh for a while.
That's right. And I'll leave you with this one. Just because of one of the last weekends we just came off of.
Terrible.
A group of dolphins is called a pod.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A group of falcons is called a cast.
Hmm.
So if you ever watch the Miami Dolphins play the Atlanta Falcons, what do you have?
Podcast.
Bing.
There you go.
We each got one.
That's all I got for you this week.
Oh, so, those were good.
I like the remote one and the pasteurized one.
You'll be laughing at that again later.
Yeah.
I'll give you a few more when we're done.
I'll
here.
Have to tell Tone that tonight. Like, but,
if he gets pasteurized, I'm going to feel like a real dummy. All right. Well, that wraps up the news this week. Thanks for following along with the Arkansas Agcast, putting up with our silliness and everything. We're grateful for you taking time to watch and listen.
Yeah, remember, you can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday afternoon. Find video episodes on Facebook and YouTube. Listen to the audio version wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yep, and make sure to subscribe and leave us a review when you have a few extra minutes. It really helps. The Arkansas Agcast is brought to you by the Arkansas Farm Bureau. I'm Jason Brown.
And I'm John McMinn.
And we'll see you next week.